Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Looking on our, you know what? Doug Jones is my webmaster. He's a great one. I love Doug. And you know, I didn't mean to be ripping on you, Doug. I know you're working really hard. And I didn't rip on you. In case you just tuned in and now you thought I was ripping on you, I wasn't ripping on you. Now you probably got friends of yours saying, yeah, Henry was on, man, tearing you a new one. And I didn't do anything. I just said, dude, how do I find the picture, the clip of me from KLSX? Where do I go? In other words, back in the day, it ain't really from KLSX when it was a rock. It's from KCET when I was the morning guy on KLSX. And Channel 28 had me in doing a fundraiser segment. So if you go to our homepage, you'll look under archives. There's also a thing that says TV radio print. It's very misleading. But what I want is for that archive thing to have a drop-down menu.
What do you mean drop down? Jesus. How queer. What?
You got to make everything some kind of a sex joke, huh? Drop down menu, as in internet.
People could misunderstand.
That's right, bud. People could misunderstand. I could be saying the drop down menu and they're thinking of something sexual right away.
They might. Thanks for driving me to work today, by the way.
You're welcome. If you go to that archive section, you'll also see me. Shut up. On the driving to work thing, Bud and I are in the car, and I'm listening to that song by The Fix, One Thing Leads to Another. And suddenly I realized, yep, it's gay. I'm sitting there listening to a Fix CD, and I suddenly catch myself singing to it, and I turn it down, and I'm just, like, so ashamed. Because it's the, you know, I liked that band once, but time marches on, and there's a point where you go, yeah, I lived in the 80s, and I was really, sometimes I actually liked the Pet Shop Boys, and there was stuff about that Johnny Hates Jazz, and you're suddenly just so very deeply ashamed. I would rather have a relative that worked in the Department B4. I'd rather have find out that my family tree goes all the way back to the Berchtesgaden than have to admit that I listened to Johnny Hates Jazz. Anyway, if you go to the menu, hit archive, then it'll take you to another menu, and that'll say video. Click on video, and then you'll see the second one down is Phil on KCET LA 1987. There's a story behind that I wrote to tell you what it was about, and then click on the thing, and then you'll see me, and I'm wearing a really funky-looking sports jacket. Aren't I, Mark? Mark saw the whole thing. I'm wearing like a red shirt with a cream-colored sports jacket. Yeah, it's totally Miami Vice. It's completely the Miami Vice thing of the 80s. And I know that a girlfriend somewhere picked it all out. In fact, I'm pretty sure I was at the thing with my girlfriend. Which, if my wife's listening, she meant nothing to me, honey. I don't even remember. I don't even know what she looks like. I think she was pretty sure she was large. Maybe way too large. All right, speaking of radio station promotions, I want to ask a question, and I'd like to get an honest answer on this. Do radio station disc jockeys still play charity softball games with prison inmates? They do? In San Francisco, you guys did? Let me ask something, Mark. Other than you and me, do you know any other cats that played charity games with? Who'd you guys play? Okay, so you got a way bigger set than me. Mark's radio station, they had a charity softball game with the San Quentin inmates. You know whose ours was against? The Bushnell Correctional Institute. Oh, dude. You know, you went right inside the joint? We went inside. And what do you mean good guys? What good guys are at San Quentin? They're getting out? Oh, these are the guys. Yeah, I think those are the guys we were playing. There was one guy named Treetop that I know was getting out like the next day. And they called him Treetop. Why? Because he's 6'6". But I haven't heard of that kind of thing going on for a long time. Now, this was in the 70s, the carefree 70s. So the guy at the station says to me, one of the jocks says, hey, you want to play softball this weekend? We're going to go up to Citrus County. And this was in Orlando. And I go, yeah, who are we playing? He goes, the inmates of the Bushnell Correctional Institution. Whoa, okay. The inmates? Yeah, it's a prison. All right. Yeah, they wrote us a letter, and they have a softball team, and they want to play us. Because in those days, stations had softball teams. We used to go out and play baseball all the time with these guys. And so anyway, we get in a van. I'll never forget. It was like, you know, all the jocks. I don't know, six or seven of us. And we get into this van. We drive up there. And we went inside. And, man, these guys were so happy to see us. They were happy. And they escorted us from the gate. They had big coolers full of lemonade. And I shouldn't say this. I hope the kids are in bed. Weed. They also had, I don't know how they, well, what am I kidding? It's prison. What do you mean, how did they get it? And they had everything set up. They chalked out the field, and they told us center field was the guard tower straight away. It was like a guard tower. You know the four-corner walls of the prison yard? Well, right, some guy up there with a high-powered scope rifle, some sniper, and they had this team. And so we played these guys. And naturally, you're a little apprehensive, because as we were walking in, I remember we're walking through these inmates, and I don't remember a guard escorting us. These were all the inmates that were escorting us. And I remember other inmates talking to these guys as they walked by us. I'd hear things like, "Don't sell out." That was the whole line back. "Don't you sell out," meaning don't you guys lose. Hey, Treetop.
Yeah.
"Don't lose." And he's like, "We ain't lose, man. Look at these punks we're playing." So we go in there. We lost like 81-0. Some ridiculous. These cats were just jacking at every pitch. And this Treetop dude got up there, straight away centers the guard tower. Yeah, uh-huh. Flew over that freaking guard tower. And so I'm talking to these guys while, you know, the game's on. And every now and again, some dude would come around selling something. And there was one black guy coming around, and he was selling pictures. "You want to get your picture taken?" He had a Polaroid. And the N-word is just everywhere, man. These white inmates calling the black guys the N-word. And the black guys, and I guess you have to, at some point, you know, in society, it's one thing. In prison, forget it. They're going to say whatever they want. They had some understanding, as, but this one guy came over. Remember, he was an African-American guy. He had a ghetto blaster. We used to call it a ghetto blaster in those days. He had some, I mean, like Ohio players, some jam like that cranked. And the white guys, "Get that N-word stuff out of here, man." And so anyway, we played this game. And meanwhile, I'm talking to a couple of these guys. This one guy's my age. Now, at the time, I was probably 22, 23. I'm talking to this guy, and he says, "Hey, how you doing?" "Yeah." And it's one of those kind of, one of those guys that has the glasses, but he's also ripped, just the big arms, and that sort of Poindexter face. So just imagine kind of the college professor, economics professor face with these freaking guns, right? And the guy's all kind of earnest and sort of a little nervous. "And yeah, hi, how you guys doing? Oh, man, we really love your station, you know, because we played all the rocks. You know, it was the rock station. And yeah, so what are you in here for?" "Murder." "Yeah, you know, okay, wow, serious?" "Oh, yeah, about, you told me a year ago I'd be spending the rest of my life in prison for murder? I wouldn't have believed you, man." So, you know, and I didn't even get this guy's story. But as we were leaving, I said to the guy, he says, "Man, can we have one of those T-shirts?" Because we had the radio station. Our station was WORJ. And if you guys, people in Central Florida, remember WORJ. And it said WORJ FM 107. And I said, "Man, I really love one of those shirts." I said, "I'll trade you." "Okay." "Okay. Well, what's he wearing?" "He's wearing a shirt that says serial number 85362. The guy's an inmate, you know. Well, give me that, man. I had that shirt for years. I had this dude's shirt. So I traded him my shirt. I put on this inmate shirt. And then the next thing you know, these inmates say to me, "Okay, man, we're going to escort you all the way to the gate because we don't want these guards thinking you belong here," and all this stuff. Like, because I'm wearing this prison shirt. So I had this phalanx of guys surrounding me so I wouldn't be mistaken for one of their brothers. Jesus. But these were all guys that were getting out. And, they didn't look too happy. And not that they weren't happy about it, but they looked like, you know, "Man, I've been here for a few years." But I thought about that the other day. I said, you know, that's weird, man, because I have never heard since then of radio stations regularly playing prison inmates in softball games. I mean, generally, it's like the, "This weekend, the disc jockeys at FM 61 will be playing the guys and the kittens at Bob's Auto Body." You know? And be sure to join us out there as we play everybody from Marty's Hobbies over there at 2nd and Main. But, you know, I don't even remember even announcing, "And this weekend we'll be up in Bushnell to play the prison inmates. So come on out and watch." Anyway, It was a fun thing. All right, we have some entertainment news coming up. Exotic animals and just what they taste like on a barbecue coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
In a moment, we're going to play a cut from our 2005 CD, available now on our website for pre-order at www.philhendryshow.com. The new Best of the Year 2005 CD, Are You For Real? With a just a lovely picture of Bobby Dooley. Ooh! On the cover of it. But first, Dateline Thailand VIP guests at the grand opening of the Night Safari Zoo in northern Thailand will not only get to see exotic animals, they'll get to eat them. The Chiang Mai Night Safari Zoo will have its official opening on New Year's Day, and the exotic buffet marking the event will include tiger, lion, elephant, and giraffe, said Plodrasop Surawadi, the director of the zoo project. Any cat whose first name starts out with Plod. You know what the thing about them cats in Southeast Asia and around there? Man, isn't there a limit to where you go for food? In other words, don't you just stop at a certain point? Is everything edible? Is there nothing that you won't eat? See, I know that there are people that are hungry in the world. Believe me, I understand this. But Thailand is not a they have a middle class of sorts. I mean, they're all military. They're all guys that go to those whorehouses. I shouldn't say whorehouse. What I mean to say is, nightclubs and, with boys that dance. But isn't there a point where you'd say, what is that again? A Morro Bay kangaroo rat. No, I won't eat that.
What?
I'm not going to eat that. I'm drawing a line at a Morro Bay kangaroo rat. I mean, these guys will eat snakes, toads, dogs. It doesn't matter if it's a cat. I don't care if it's called Furball or Fluffy or something that you've loved for years. I don't care if it's a puppy, a four-week-old puppy bouncing a ball, just as cuddly as the day is long. Oh, really? Yeah, stir-fry it. Fricassee that pup. So if you're in Thailand where, when they talk about food, man, they could be talking about you. They could be saying, what the hell? Let's just go ahead and meet you. By the way, I was watching a Family Guy the other day where they're stranded on an island and he eats one of the guy's legs because the dude's paralyzed from the waist down. Very funny. All right, now it's time for a bit from our Best of the Year 2005 CD. Is this a six-minute bit? Are we too late? No, we're too late now. Dang! Well, dude, I wanted to play this one because it is Bob Green's Hold My Salami. It's one of the classics. I wouldn't want to play two cuts from the CD in one night, would I? Why the hell not? Burn up some really decent time, wouldn't it? All right, well, anyway, the best of CD is called Are You For Real? Let's just go to another one here, something that's short, something that is, here's one that's 4:38. Jeez, is there anything here that's under 3 minutes? Is there anything here under 4 minutes? Is there anything here under 10 minutes? Cut two, they're all 4 minutes long, brother. All right, let's go here to cut three, and if I can read this, it says Dean Wheeler and Smoking in the Military. Let's check it out. Dean Wheeler from our Best of 2005 CD.
I'm 81 years old.
Hello, bud. This is Dean.
I fought in combat in two wars.
Oh, that's too bad.
I had the opportunity to command different positions. Had a lot of men with me.
Yes, sir.
About the time I told them they couldn't smoke a cigarette, they would tell me where to go in a hurry.
Hey, bud, this is Phil Hendry. Can you hold on, bud? You're a war veteran, a combat veteran, sir?
Yes, sir.
Right, I want to bring on a gentleman in Alhambra to join you. Is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir. This is Lloyd Bonafide, sir.
And you are a combat veteran, sir?
Yes, sir. I was in the United States Navy at Chosin Reservoir in Korea. We pulled the Marines out of there. And this guy you got on right now... I just heard what the other... is the other gentleman there, Bud?
Ask this Navy guy if he's up there, ever up to Choto Island, way up above the parallel.
Oh, hey, you and I ate some of the...
Okay, you got to watch your language. You can't say that word.
I'm sorry. I was just saying he and I ate some of the same dirt together. I just think that smoking cigarettes is very unhealthy.
Have you been in the service?
I beg your pardon, sir?
Have you ever been in the military service?
Sir, I would not join the military for philosophical reasons. I think that it's...
Were you ever in the military service, yes or no?
Why don't you answer the man's question?
No, the answer is no. But
that's right. That's what I thought. You've never had anybody shooting at you.
Sir, there's enough combat right here in America. Uncle Sham has made
You've never had anyone shooting at you.
You know what? I'll shoot at you right now.
You've never had anyone fire a weapon at you.
Well, so what difference does it make?
You don't know what it is to be fired at.
Well, what does that mean?
Your 19-year-old kid over there is scared to death, and he wants to smoke a cigarette, and you're going to try to blame that on the President of the United States.
I was diagnosed
You're nothing but a pseudo-intellectual with a very weak mind.
You know what we used to do to guys like you?
You couldn't do anything to me, buddy.
This is Lloyd. I'm not this queer that we're...
Watch the Q word.
I beg your pardon, sir. I just want to say that a guy like this, we used to take him around back when nobody was looking, get out a big jar of Crisco, bend him over...
All right, I don't want to...
Can you hear this, Steve?
That just proves exactly what I was thinking of this guy.
There is enough
He's nothing but one of these pseudo-intellectuals, one of these professional students...
Are you a smoker?
...who doesn't know his right hand from his left hand. He's a carry man, and he's mad because they lost the election. He's trying to say that because a boy is over there fighting a war to save his rear end for him, he's
going to
take everything and charge it against Bush. It's ridiculous. I'm not
going
to let him say a word. I'm
going
to talk right over top of him.
Bud, hold on.
The more he talks, the more I'm going to talk.
I understand, Bud, but I'm not
going to let anybody hear anything he has
to say.
So, you know, you're going
to
get a jar a Crisco and do something to me.
No, I wouldn't do it to you.
You never put anything on me, boy. Because I'd have you so quick, you wouldn't know what happened to you.
Why would I want to do it to you?
You're nothing but just a blowhard.
Hold on. Whoa.
These guys are talking about Crisco-ing each other up.
Away with it.
We've got to try to oil me up or something.
Why would you guys oil me up?
I wasn't going to oil you up, you bastard. World War II and Korea. And you sat at home.
Hold on. Everybody, hold on.
And all those guys did the thing to me.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Nothing but
hold on.
Going to get a word in.
You're not
going to get it all on
Bud,
top of me.
Bud,
no
it's
way.
Phil. Hold on, Bud,
I'll
it's Phil.
I'll just talk that on top of you as long as you want to talk.
Bud.
You're talking to a real vet now, boy.
Bet.
You're not talking to one of these young punks. I had people under my command, and if they wanted to smoke a cigarette, I didn't care
right
for
you.
Oh, jeez. So that's from our best of 2005. I had no idea that Lloyd was a special bonus on that track. That's Dean Wheeler, and he was talking about, you know, he didn't like seeing all them guys smoking cigarettes over in Iraq. I remember the first time I saw those guys when they first invaded Iraq, there was a picture in the paper, and the Marines were holding up the sign, "Anybody got smokes?" You remember seeing that picture? I thought, that's got to suck. Are you telling me that these guys are already, like, what, hundreds of miles up in the desert and nobody had cigarettes? And it's true, you know, smoke-out days are fine, cigarettes are bad for you, but I don't really think the military is the place you want to start promoting that. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're going to play another cut. I want to play the cut that I wanted to play off the CD coming up on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Did you see this bird flu thing? I mean, I know you guys have to be... Even if you don't want to follow it, you got to be following it because apparently the news media has grabbed a hold of this story. Now, I am loath to criticize. I don't really know what the motivation of the news media is. I don't believe there's such a thing necessarily as a liberal or a conservative news media. What I do know is that there's editorial policies of newspapers and magazines because that's what they think their readers want to see. I mean, if you're in business to make money, I mean, that's generally what they're about. Or they just, you know, they forge ahead, even though they have an editorial policy that's just like totally up the rear end. But they're not going to change it because they really think that they're right and they want to change the world. Yeah, OK, great. But I don't really think that that's, you know, for instance, how the New York Times or LA Times works. I think those papers basically say, well, I guess this is what people want to read. So we'll go for it. Now, this bird flu thing. Every time I turn around, I'm hearing about a bird flu. Bird flu here and a bird flu there. Here a bird, there a bird, everywhere a bird. Old MacDonald had an aviary.
So anyway, these birds. Now, here's the headline the other day. China to inoculate 14 billion birds. Are you kidding me? Where are you cats going to start? Look, and I know there's a whole lot of Chinese, Jim, but there's no way. You guys got enough people to shoot up 14 billion birds? For what reason? Kill them. How many? What? Look, has anybody been to China? I've been to China. And the first thing you notice, not the first thing, but it's one of the things you notice, cats driving down the street on bicycles, and and on either side, they've got cages with birds in them. Because the Chinese are into eating fowl. They're into eating quail, chicken, that kind of thing. And you say to yourself, boy, it's a one hell of a big country. Has anybody heard of cattle ranching? Well, you know, easier said than done, man. Over here, we have jeeps, we have guys with boots, and we have something that's very essential to farming and cattle ranching, Mexicans. Now, and what we have is we've got the labor. In China, they don't have the jeep thing down yet, and they don't really have the ranch house thing down. And plus, China's got a lot of rocky terrain. There's a lot of rocks and mountains and crap. You know, there's a lot of work they got to do to flatten everything out to get a bunch of cows. I mean, the number of cows. And check out the Japanese. You know, they're buying their meat from Argentina. Those guys don't have enough land over there. They can't even build a golf course. The Japanese got so little land that instead of golf courses, they just go out to driving ranges. They have a picnic lunch and they watch daddy hit balls like 200 yards. And then they go, oh, they're so good. And then they get in the car, the Hyundai, and go away. And then the next family comes in. You know, it's like a line of them. That's what they do. Seriously. So they don't have no cattle ranching. What do they got to do? They got to hook up with the Argentinians or the Brazilians. They don't want to buy meat from us. I don't know what their hang-up is. They don't mind butchering up our forests. But I guess that's a whole other thing. I'm sure. You Japanese, that's really nice. Come on over, cut down our trees, but you don't want to buy our cows. What's the story? Well, you know. No, what? No, I don't know. Yeah. No, go ahead, spill it.
You wash your hands if you go to the bathroom?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's not what I heard.
Oh, so that's why you don't want to buy our cows? Anyway, over in China, the big thing over there is either fish or chicken and fowl and that kind of thing. You never forget it, man. I was over there for a month and a half. I didn't have a steak. Forget it. The only cows I saw, man, were pulling freaking plows. And it wasn't anything I wanted to eat. I mean, these were like water buffalo with the big horns. It's like, what kind of a steak does that thing make? Probably the toughest, probably like shoe leather, probably like that chuck steak. So they got these birds, and everywhere you go, and I remember one time, guy says, and tonight we have a banquet, and we have quail. That's great, quail, that sounds grilly. Well, I mean, have you ever seen a quail? Now, the quail leg is about the size of your thumb. It's, you know, there you go, sir, it's a little quail leg, huh? A little more? Yeah, a lot more. Could you just bring me the whole bird? I mean, seriously, you get done eating a quail leg, and the bone is this, it's like a midget chicken. That's what it is. It's a midget chicken. And, oh, man, they do it in a million different ways. Now, because they got this thing for birds, now they got bird flu all over the joint. Next thing you know, the whole world is going to be wiped out. It's going to be Stephen King all over it again. Guys just driving through the gas pumps at gas stations with freaking scars on their faces. Why? Because some Chinaman didn't know how to prepare quail properly. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's another Phil Hendry Chinaman bit. All right. Let's get back to our best of CD, and we will in just a moment. This is the one that we wanted to play, and we couldn't find it. Why? Because the print on the back of our CD, which we encourage you to go to our website and buy, all the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. And great people, there are no better people in the world, I'm telling you, than the folks at my friend's place. All of these people are either have degrees in psychology, sociology, or are interning or working their way toward their degree. Cirque du Soleil is involved. I mean, there are all kinds of people involved. And the Phil Hendry Show is involved in helping these guys. And they have a resource center on Hollywood Boulevard. And the kids that live on the street, and there's a ton of them, go there and have a place to get some AIDS counseling. They need help, medical. Believe me, you wouldn't know the number of kids that have AIDS, full-blown AIDS. or are HIV positive. Because there's, you know, I don't know whether you know this, you probably have guessed, the first thing a kid does when he comes to Hollywood and he wants to be a movie star, he gets hooked into this porn, some of these kiddie porn things that are going on right off of Hollywood Boulevard. They're still making porn down there with kids. Now, I don't know why they don't just, forget about rating it, just burn the building down while they're in there. Make sure the kids are out first. So these kids are all messed up, man. They can go over here and they can get their head together a little bit, find out about job counseling, get to use a phone, get to use a computer, you know, stuff like that. Become a human being again, you know, join the human race again. Get their heads up out of their rear ends and get their faces out of the clouds and forget about being a movie star. And let's get freaking real here, man, and find out how you can turn your life around. So that's what they do, and that's why we sell our CD, to get them some bread. Otherwise, I couldn't care less whether any of this material was made available. So we're going to play Bob Green's Hide the Salami coming up, and that's off of our 2005. You want to buy it? Go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, it's time now for another cut from our 2005. You know, we're just kind of whetting the appetite. This is Bob Green, and this was a promotion he was doing in his grocery store where, what was the promotion? He would have women hold salamis, and then he'd photograph them. And the obvious suggestiveness of this was just too much. Here's Bob Green with the segment we call Hold the Salami. Oh, excuse me, I hit the wrong button.
Real professional.
Yeah, that's great.
I just had, respectfully, because I think it's kind of humorous, but I have to tell you, what if a gentleman came up to you, Bob, and asked you, with no intonation, no tone of voice, nothing perverted in his tone of voice, but he asked you if you wanted a free popsicle, and then he asked you to hold a salami so he could take a picture of you?
Well, first of all, if you find it humorous, then you don't find fault with any of this, correct?
I don't necessarily. I think it's a. I definitely think it's sexual in nature, but I do think it's kind of a humorous thing.
It's sexual in nature.
Well, you're not denying that it's sexual in nature.
How come these guys come back from Iraq and everybody's kissing their butts?
You know what? Compare apples to apples. That's my point. Don't keep going to Elton John or the guys from Iraq. Compare apples to apples. How would you feel? The guy came up to you and asked you that. He wasn't blatantly gay.
Right.
He asked you to eat a popsicle so he could take a picture of you. How would
I'm not going to do it because, first of all, maybe I don't feel like having a popsicle. Secondly, I don't want to use my name for a commercial endorsement.
So that's the only reason you wouldn't do it?
I would also tell him in a way
that was inappropriate?
Well, ma'am, I'll tell you this. He's obviously a homosexual, and you know what I tell him? I tell him the baby corn is in aisle 4.
The baby corn is in aisle 4.
That's right.
Well, that would definitely be, you know,
yeah.
If he wasn't being sexual to you, alleging that you're not being sexual to these women,
but see, Layla,
that would be an entirely inappropriate comeback.
Well, wait a minute. The point that I'm making is those women could have said to me, no, I'm not going to suck on a popsicle for you.
Well, guess
what?
Some of them are. That's why you're being sued, though.
Yeah, that's why you're being sued.
Wait a minute.
Because they are saying that. They're saying, I just realized I was taken advantage of.
Oh, wait a second.
Take a picture and think, this is great. I'm customer of the month. And then she finds out.
Wait a minute. That's unfair to say. That's unfair to say. If I said to the guy, you know what? No, thank you very much, Elton. I don't want to suck on a popsicle and the baby corn's in aisle 4. Now, those women didn't say that to me. They said, sure, I'll hold your sausage. And now she's suing me. And this is what I'm talking about. And I don't blame the customers. I blame the lawyers that line up like vultures to suck the money out of them, if you'll pardon the expression, suck, and then have the audacity to sue me. Meanwhile, you've got you got Chinese porn in here.
Okay, there you go again. Chinese, Elton John.
Definitely say on apples and apples. That was my main point of this conversation.
Well, I don't
say apples to apples.
You
know that as a grocer. You can't compare apples and oranges.
If I came up to you in a grocery store, and I said, Layla, you've been shopping here for 6 months. I want to make you customer of the month. Would you please hold this sausage? And I want to get your picture.
you know what? I wouldn't do it. That's the way my mind works. I would definitely see that it was sexual in nature, and I'd probably laugh because I think it's funny.
Yeah, Ms. Renner, I don't think that this.
But I don't have a problem with being, you know, flirted with or whatever.
All
but
right, here's the other instance and the other part of this, because there's like three or four parts of this
exactly.
lawsuit. There is,
and people are more sensitive than
right.
I am.
There were two women who were posing with corn dogs. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, they also have come forward.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? Now all of a sudden I'm a bad guy. All of a sudden that...
Well, wait a minute, man. Sausages, corn dogs.
Yeah, it's definitely
I don't
got
understand.
Some significance there, Freudian significance.
Well, man, you know, if I may say, I think your mind works in a funny way.
Sir,
well, not in a funny way. It seems to work in the same way that yours does.
Mr. Green, had you... had you dipped the corn dogs in mayonnaise?
You know, I think it's very unfair.
No, had you dipped them in mayonnaise?
Oh, no.
I think it's very unfair, and I think you're walking very close to a lawsuit, Mr. Henry.
No, you can't. What are you going to sue me for, reporting the news? I'm reading out of the transcript of a lawsuit. You had two women stand...
Why were they holding the corn dogs? And let me ask this lady, Layla. Layla?
Yes?
If we had a special on corn dogs, and I said, you're a customer of the month, would you hold this one dipped in mayonnaise?
You know what? I might do it. But it would definitely be with the awareness of what your point was there.
Oh, so then you can't turn around and sue me.
You can't
say, I know that it's sexual, but
you
I think...
You know what? Do you assume that everyone's mind works the way that yours and mine does?
Well,
because maybe they didn't notice until they saw the trend that was going.
You ought to shop at my store because you sound like you might enjoy it.
Yeah,
Maybe I would. But,
yeah, right. That's
but
right,
there's
man.
A lot of people that don't.
All
and
right,
a
listen.
Lot of people don't see what's going on until it's put in front of them and they realize that they've been made a fool
well,
of
I just
and
don't
that's
think,
what they don't approve of.
Well, I don't think you can turn around and sue me after you willingly stood there with a corn dog dipped in mayonnaise.
All right, I get it. Layla, thank you very much.
You take care. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. You're in big trouble.
I'm in big trouble.
You're running around with your little cute jokes, corn dogs, corn on the cob, the whole night, and the Italian sweet sausage, and then you have the gall to bring up our soldiers returning from Iraq and Elton John and Chinese getting smuggled into the
You know, you can go straight down there to... You can go to the nether reaches.
Oh, man, that's classic Bob Green. No problem. Would you just, you're our customer of the month. Would you mind holding this corn dog dipped in mayonnaise? That's Bob Green, and that's a cut from our Best of the Year 2005 CD, available now for pre-order at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
They got the $100 laptop coming up. That's right, baby. A new $100 laptop. What's funny about this story is they want to create these $100 laptops with the idea that adults will buy them and then turn them on to kids, because this is really a kid's computer. But I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, why can't I have it? You know, I'm not allowed to have a $100 laptop. I could use that. It's a hand crank, man. I already got that freaking Beijing radio. I already got that hand crank radio that I heard on the George Norrie Coast to Coast show, which is fantastic. I want a hand crank computer, too. In fact, anything having to do with hand and crank is pretty much my life. So, and there it is. And by the way, what they're talking about in the UN, you guys ought to sort of maybe drop an ear on this every now and again. You know what's going on? They want to take control of the internet away from the United States. Now, I'm sorry, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but we invented the internet. Do you understand that us, America... No. It's not one of these deals where it was hands across the water. No, we invented the internet. It ain't one of them things where, like, was fire really invented in Europe? Or was it, you know, maybe you could say one caveman came up with fire and another cat in China was doing the same thing. So you don't really know, right? No, we invented the internet. A million years from now, when some archaeologist finds a computer, probably a hand crank, he's going to say, well, look at this. See, the Americans did it. Now they want the other cats to have control over it. Hey, man, you know, where's the jar of Crisco? I'll just go ahead and get ready now. I mean, why even talk about it? I'll take the big T
tin one. Yeah, that's right. Family size. Thank you. And then let me have a pack of Marlboro. And oh, yeah, I need some rubber gloves.
Right away, sir.
Thank you.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.